Social Services Committee meeting to order. The date is September 26th. Meeting is scheduled to last until 3:15. Time is 2:40. Next item on the agenda is roll call.
Congressman Shaw.
Here.
Congresswoman Pratt. Congressman Baker.
Here.
Congressman Mason.
Present.
Congressman Norris.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
Here. The next item on the agenda is prayer. If you may, could you say a prayer?
Sure, thank you. That's what I'm calling. Almighty Father God, we come this day, and we thank you for the guidance that you've given us this day. Seemingly a difficult, challenging day, Almighty Father, but you're still with us, and we know that your guidance from our hearts and our minds and the ghost within us, Almighty Father, that invisible being is going to touch us. Take us through the day and into the evening if necessary, for we know that you're standing beside us, Almighty Father. Thank you for that. So be with us as we move through this meeting and Health and Social Services here and those about this table and our dear friends in the gallery, Almighty Father, and those that are listening in. And good health and good wellness to all. In the name of the Son of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Speaker. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes, please. Motion approved the minutes as submitted September 23rd. Consideration of OMCA 16109 Act to provide an appropriation in the amount of $25,000 for a grant donation to the Water District for water treatment equipment and installation and to establish an alternate effective date. I've been communicating off and on with representatives and concerned citizens about this for about a month. Congresswoman Edwards was contacted by, she said, the Oklahoma Water Resources Board and led to her sponsorship of this consideration for a $25,000 appropriation to the district. I sent emails last week. In fact, I've heard from two different, I'm going to say representatives, but people that indicated to me that either they or someone else would be here. And they're not here right now, so Chair, entertain a motion to postpone in the case that if somebody shows up before the meeting ends, I can pull it off the table or take a move.
Second.
Motion to postpone OMCA 16109 by Congressman Shaw, seconded by Speaker Mason. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? No. OMCA 16109 is postponed. Okay. Item 6 is consideration of OMCA 16108, an act providing an appropriation in the amount of $75,000 for a grant donation to the City of Winona for facility improvements. water treatment equipment installation and maintenance, and to establish alternate effective date. I've not had any contact with the city of Winona. This is solely a initiative or been brought forth by Congresswoman Edwards. Congresswoman Edwards has indicated to me that she has tried on multiple occasions to get hold of somebody, I guess at the city hall of Winona, and she's been unable to get a hold of anybody, and no one's called her back. So she asked if nobody shows up to postpone OMCA 16108 to the call of the chair. And it may or may not be put back on the agenda during the session.
So moved.
Second. A motion to postpone OMCA 16108 by Speaker Mason, seconded by Congressman Shaw. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, no. Okay, OMCA 16108 is postponed. Call of the chair. Next item on the agenda is consideration of OMCA 16-118, an act to amend 16 ONC section 3-14 and 3-106. Section 3-106 of the Health Benefit Act to change the minimum benefit to pregnant women once during each pregnancy to $1,000 to set the benefit for pregnant women and elders before calculating the maximum benefit to all other participants and to establish an alternate effective date. Sponsor of this bill is Congressman Norris. We have heard this once before in committee, and it was inadvertently put on that agenda on a day that Congressman Norris had already told me that he was going to be absent. So I apologize for that. Congressman Shaw agreed to co-sponsor it, and we did discuss it for, I don't know, 10 or 20 minutes in committee that afternoon. So I've taken it off the table, or out of postponement, and place it on today's agenda. The sponsor, Congressman Norris, is here with us. Congressman Norris, please tell us about your bill.
Thank you. What I recognize in my health benefit plan is that we enroll newborns that's self-explanatory. Any newborn Osage is eligible for enrollment in our nation. And I got to thinking, well, there are Osage women carrying these children, Osage children, to the term of their pregnancy. And these unborn Osage children, they need health care also. They need certain vitamins, prenatal vitamins the mother can take to make these healthy babies, and if the mother wished to seek additional care through her physician, she could go and get care for this unborn Osage child. And my bill, my legislation is for the Osage mother, enrolled Osage mother, who already has a health benefit card. And I would like to see the child, unborn child, looked at as an early enrollment. And I talked it over with our budget analyst, and he's not here right at the moment. Maybe you heard from him the last meeting, but he assured me that there would probably be no additional appropriation that would have to be made, because that once the child is born, that child is already eligible for enrollment in the health benefit plan. So my proposal would be to add $500 to the already Osage mother's health benefit card for the child, which would make the Osage mother eligible for $1,000, and that would that additional $500 would enable her or help her get additional medical care and whatever might be necessary for that unborn child. don't know how other to, better to explain it than that, as far as my intentions of why add an additional $500 to the Osage Mothers Health Benefit Card. I think there was a question about, well, will this add additional administrative cost to the health benefit plan? And Mr. Potts and I, we called Tom Bartlett at HealthSmart and asked him that question, and he could not see any additional administrative costs from their hands. He said that any administrative cost would be to the Osage Nation, maybe in constituent services, of making up a form that they would send, or they could send out to the pregnant Osage mother, and she would fill out, have her physician sign the form verifying that she is carrying or pregnant, and she would, they would, or she would return the form back to constituent services, who would then, in my mind, then forward it on to HealthSmart for them to go ahead and eat. And Tom Bartlett said that they would just, once they received the form, they would just add the additional $500 to the Osage Mother's Health Benefit Card. Do you understand kind of what I'm...
I did, and when you referenced the form, are you talking about a form that obviously doesn't exist yet? It would be some sort of verification that the mother is pregnant?
Yes, it would be a form developed through constituent services that would be mailed out to the, first of all, the pregnant. The woman would have to know that this plan is available, and then the woman would then contact constituent services. Constituent services would have a form then in turn send it out to the mother. She would get with her physician, and they would fill out that form, and the physician would sign it, and the form would be returned to constituent services, and then they would return forward on to HealthSmart.
Okay, so just catching up a couple of the issues that were brought up last time, Congressman Norris, I don't know if you've been, has anybody briefed you on it?
Dr. Shaw briefed me a little bit, and then Mr. Potts briefed me a little bit.
Okay, so one of the issues was that if the mother gets the additional $500, mm-hmm. I don't know if we really went through this type of scenario, but if, let's say the mother gets the additional $500, you know, sometime after the second half of the year, I guess it really is kind of irrelevant. So they get the additional $500, and then say if the child is born, as soon as they're born and alive, then they would get another $500 out.
That is not, so I had it explained to me by Mr. Potts. No, that's not quite true. And if you could hold that thought just a moment, if I get Mr. Potts in here, maybe he could explain it better than I could. Yes, please. Was there another issue?
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, if somebody can help me with the number, what was it? Around 100 1-year-olds go on to the plan? How many?
218.
200? Okay.
New 1-year-old.
Okay, so 218 goes on, 1-year-olds go on, or new enrollees. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the majority of them are one. That would kind of lead me to believe that, I don't know, what, 35%, just a guess, 40% maybe, are, well, we got to talking about whether the father was also Osage or not, and if they're married or not, it really kind of doesn't matter, other than they, like someone with, like me, with multiple children, that just goes onto my card. It's all combined into one card. So there would be about 100, I would estimate maybe about 100 new enrollees that this may apply to.
There's no difference who the father is, Osage or not Osage. And you're looking at the Osage numbers.
Yes, sir.
So Osage father has no bearing.
Okay.
And can I ask Mr. Paulson?
Yes.
Mr. Paulson, come up here just a moment, please. Okay, would you ask Mr. Paulson that question if you ask me about that?
Okay, so if the pregnant woman gets, say she gets $500 loaded on her card, and say she's 6 or 7 or 8 or even 9 months pregnant, learns of the benefit, gets the $500 added to her card, then the child is born, would they then be eligible for another $500?
We talked about this with the author. I don't know if something was added, but I think we did make that comment. Mm-hmm. That yes, that child would be eligible at that point for their first year of birth for their $500.
Okay.
Which would increase the contribution for that individual $500 over the life of that individual. So that's assuming they apply to every year, funds are available, money. So I believe we calculated that out, and I said there are two simple ways to kind of phrase that. It's either add a clause in here potentially. Says if the mother has the $500 added to the card, the child is not eligible for the first year of life. So essentially, from age 0 to 1, they're not eligible. So the first calendar year, they just wouldn't be eligible for $500. But at age 1, on their first birthday, it would be eligible, or within that calendar year. So either adding that clause or understanding that it is not a large contribution over the life of an individual Osage, when you're talking about, let's say, a typical Osage lives to be 65, that's $500 over the next 65 years for that individual. So there's two ways to look at it. Either it's not a significant contribution or impact, or simply exclude that individual for the first year of life.
Speaker Mason.
But what if the father is an Osage and the mother is not an Osage, but the child is born and it's half Osage. But because of that scenario, that kid can be eligible for benefits from 0 to 1, and the other child is not eligible for 0 to 1. Is that what you're saying?
Essentially, yes. If the child is carried by an Osage mother, their $500 benefit would have been applied, or could potentially be applied,
at age negative one or zero.
That individual Osage, if the mother is Osage, would have the benefit awarded early or added to the card early. And then, to avoid a potential fiscal impact in the future, you could exclude that individual Osage from receiving the health benefit their first year of life, only if the Osage mother received the $500 benefit previous to birth. That way, the Osage child who is born to an Osage father but not an Osage mother is still eligible to receive the benefit on day one of their birth. And only if the benefit is applied to the Osage mother's card for that individual, which you see a fiscal impact or increase in the benefit allowed.
Okay, I need to ask Congressman Morrison. You mentioned earlier a term I just picked up since we sit on membership committee. You said if the child is not yet born, they're considered a pre-member for the Osage. I don't know if we have that. Pre-member, I mean, you got to be bored. Oh, then you're a member. Yeah. Right. Okay, thank you. You're a pre-human being.
You don't have that in the membership.
Sandra?
Thank you. I was just observing here. I think it's a nice idea, but don't you think that you're going to hear a lot of discrimination problems because of the situation. The woman is Osage, and the man is Osage or not. But vice versa is, the woman is not Osage, but the man is. You see what I'm saying? I wouldn't, but, you know, there's a good possibility that somebody's gonna harm discrimination, you know.
We talked about that. I did. We talked about that a little bit the other day.
Oh, you did? I'm sorry.
And I think the, what I believe to be the, what the majority of the committee felt like was, that gets into a lot of unknowns. First of all, how would you know if he actually really is the father?
Exactly.
I mean, so.
Yeah.
And there's other variables too.
Oh, yeah.
If they weren't married, or would that matter? I think I would have to go with Congressman Norris on this one. I think looking at it, we got an Osage mother. The child that she's carrying is definitely Osage.
I see. Okay, thank you for explaining that.
Well, it's in vitro.
Another that's a good point. So
that goes for the clause.
You know, that's an interesting point there too. In that case, though, wouldn't that child be eligible anyway? They were, even though they were born to that person.
Well, you're making a huge decision on your future then. And you have a non-official membership in your debt.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but you took that risk.
Yeah. Well, I'm not taking any risk. I'm just...
Well, you signed up for this.
I'm talking about in vitro possibilities. Never even considered that. I don't know if we really have.
The dollar amount's good. You already have the clause for the woman. If you put the $500 on, wait for the year. The male side of it never has that option anyway, so you never added a dollar or a dime to it. You're still functioning just like you promised. And then you need to add the clause.
Pardon me?
You need to add the clause. This ain't Burger King. You can't have it your way. You folks set it up because you run into this problem. You put that reserve clause in there that you're allowed to not service anyone who's broken your law. But I just got to say, you know, even a working mother has a harder time getting through this than a non-working mother because they're not qualifying for other things. They have to buy their insurance. Even at our own clinic, their insurance goes first. The cost of that alone has put her at a disadvantage. I don't see any really problem. The other comes up later when they try to skim you for something else.
You said you don't see a problem with going ahead and adding the clause to enable the pregnant mother to get the additional $500?
She needs it that moment.
Thank you.
Grandfather and father too, all I know is that I had to cut out some of my life to make sure they have their life. It's a guarantee now. Guaranteed.
Thank you for those comments. Congressman Maker, then Congressman Norris.
Okay. Now, did I see on here somewhere it's only a one time? I mean, like a young mother, you know, a very young mother, starts having her family. She said she maybe going to have five children in her. Her young marriage, you know. Is there anything about that?
I
see that one time for pregnancy, but is there a limit to having, like every time she gets pregnant, she's going to get the $500 every year?
She fills the form out. I mean, she would be eligible for it. And one of the things that we did talk about the other day briefly was also, should we consider putting a clause that, you know, not eligible until maybe the second trimester or something like that because of various medical reasons. Congressman Norris.
looking at this legislation and I was developing it, is that in Oklahoma, we've got many Indian Health Service clinics and many Indian Health Service hospitals available for our Osage women. But there's not that many hospitals and clinics available when you get away from Oklahoma that's serviced by Indian Health Service. You get down to Texas, I think, if I recall, the closest IHS facility in Texas used to be Eagle Pass, Texas. And we have Osage women that live in Texas. And young women, if they get pregnant, then if they don't have health insurance, they have, it's just difficult for them to get prenatal care and care for that unborn Osage child. So I'd like to see, you know, I'd like to think that I'm also, or this legislation's also benefiting these young mothers who live away from the Indian Health Services clinics around and these women cannot have access or do not have access to prenatal care and medicines available so that we can have a healthy Osage child born. But I'm open to, you know, any amendments to this legislation that will make it better. I mean, just because it's written this first time around, I drafted it, and if there's any amendments to be made to it, it's going to make it better for that unborn Osage child and young Osage mother. I'm for it.
Congressman Shaw may be working on an amendment.
Chairman.
Sorry, Mr. Potts.
Just feel the need to toss this out here. If there's going to be a clause for a section relating to when the eligibility of the child is eligible for the health benefit, you're also needing to make some provision for the event of twins or triplets. If it's $5,000, if they're twins, is only one child not eligible for the first year of birth or both children? Or even, does that make sense?
Now, I think we're talking about something, a potential amendment, because the way I read the bill, there's no provision in there that eliminates the child from being funded his first year. I wouldn't support that anyway. I mean, if the mother just so happens to get $500 while she's pregnant and it's later in the year, and then she has the child and then the child goes right on, so be it. I think it is important to consider that this is a one-time benefit. Because there was also a discussion about other unmet needs of our children. Well, if we started doing that, then that would put them on a similar level like our elders over 65. Then their benefit, if we did it every year, it could go up from 500 to 1,000 if we started adding these other potentials, which is all a great thing. I wish we had more money. Provide more services, but we only have so much. Committee, Congressman Norris.
Coming back to that, I'm sure in twins or triplets or something like that. You know, I have thought about that. I think we have maybe discussed it. You get a mother that furnishes a statement from her physician stating that she's carrying twins, well then we would have two unborn Osage children that she's carrying. So, but I believe that she should, you know, we're on limited funds, she should still only get the $500 added to the health benefit card.
Mr. Chair, I just remember our conversations about wanting to be fiscally conscious about what was going to be impacted. So I just wanted to make the committee aware that if something were to be done to ensure that there's no increase in fiscal impact, something to that effect might need to be examined and considered by committee. That was the only reason.
Congressman Shaw? Well, I'm just going to really emphasize what Congressman Norris says. It's really not the child or the number of children that she's carrying that receives multiple benefits. It's the mother who's pregnant.
Period.
The $1,500 benefit, really. So, but I mean, I can see where you consider that. I think if you just consider that the mother is virtually pregnant, gets the additional benefit, whether it's single child, sex couples, so $1,500.
What about some sort of provision that, I mean, if they get the additional benefit and it's after October 1st or something like that, then would they then be able to turn right around and say if the child was born on January 5th and turn around and get another $500? That's not a bad, that is a good thing, I agree, but just wonder if we should consider a scenario like that. Because if they were to get it, you know, find out, say they get pregnant later in the year, October, November, December, whatever, they meet the threshold that is put into the bill, and then they get the $500 early in the year, January or February, and then the child is born in May or June. Then I think, yeah, then they should get another $500 once the child is born. But there are other scenarios.
You've got lots of clauses today.
This is a lot. So much today, there's a lot.
And we'll get Congressman Becker.
Yeah, the other day it seemed like we had a couple of young mothers in there, and they had a lot of things that seemed like we had thought about. A different scenario.
Well, I'm open to anything. You know.
I think it's a great thing. I'm not, you know, more, but I'm just saying.
Speaker Mason.
What would it do to your, the bill as it's titled right now, because we're talking about mothers and so forth, but we haven't talked about your over 65 elders. You know, what if that was just eliminated out of your bill? We're just talking mothers, not necessarily elders. Are elders now excluded if they're not in this bill? I think we still get the elderly get the money, whether there is, they're stated in this bill, because I think the focus is for pregnant, to help a pregnant woman, not whether participant, pregnancy or participant over 65. So I'm kind of reading that, you know, that's an old law.
In the Bible, that happened.
Well, in the Bible, yeah. We'll say county, it's a rarity. And I'm just wondering if that's,
Mr. Chair.
If that hurts your bill, if that wasn't, I'm not.
I can take it. Thank you. Stab at that one. You're amending at 16 ONC 3106. So you're essentially, that part is already in law. The participant is over 65, not $60,000. So taking it out, you're amending that law. So it wouldn't, it would still in, I mean, the participant being over 65 would still be eligible for $1,000.
That was
just,
this,
just restating it, I believe.
Yeah.
But that would be more of a question for Jack, but I don't think it impacts anything.
Just threw that out because, you know, it looks like we've got two parts included in this one.
I believe it's just that you're adding to that section of law.
I agree with that.
Very good.
Congressman Shaw. I'd like to move for a brief recess to allow any time to confer with legislative council to determine where the proper place to add the proposed amendment would be.
Okay.
It's kind of common. That whole thing in parentheses is a little odd. I need to look at the code, the codified law, to know for sure where it goes. I've got some language that the committee could consider.
I'm willing to do whatever, but it is 3:15. We did get a late start. Isn't there another meeting scheduled to start at 3:15?
I don't have one. Yeah,
I've got 1:30 to 3:06.
Why this
appropriations?
Four to six.
Oh,
I don't know if one got canceled.
council here?
Culture or something that can't.
Culture.
Maybe that's why we have this open.
And there's still, I guess, a motion.
So we wouldn't be able to come out of recess and reconvene anyway?
Could.
No, I'm talking about reconvene.
Oh, up here?
Yeah. The body.
No, we're not ready to come out yet.
Okay.
I'm here.
Whatever the will of the board is. Congressman Maker.
I'm voting to recess for 5 minutes.
Or a brief recess. Thank you. Motion for a brief recess, second. All those in favor say yes.
To the call of the chair.
To the call of the chair.
Within 45 minutes or 4 o'clock.
I don't have the air.
Already settled.
Okay, we're gonna go back on the air, we're coming out of recess. Call it back into order. Okay, we're taking a brief recess for Congressman Shaw to prepare an amendment to ONCA 16-118. Congressman Shaw?
All right. I move to amend ONCA 1695, 16118, page 2, line 60, which is right here. Right here. This paragraph D, insert paragraph D, a child born to an Osage mother, comma, that receives the pregnancy benefit, comma, will not be eligible for the individual health benefit until the beginning of the next calendar year.
What?
Say that again. Hold on, absorb it one time. A child born to an Osage mother that receives the pregnancy benefit will not be eligible for the individual health benefit until the beginning of the next calendar year.
That'd be the mother.
That would be the child.
Oh. Read that one more time.
A child born to an Osage mother, comma, that receives the pregnancy benefit, comma, will not be eligible for the individual health benefit until the beginning of the next calendar year. Actually, I think the comma will probably go right for pregnancy benefit. Not two commas, one comma after benefit. Okay, do you have your amendment straight for Congressman Shaw?
I do.
Okay, motion by Congressman Shaw to amend the bill as he read before the committee and has given the amendment to the clerk. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Congressman or Speaker Mason. Any discussion?
Yes, can you scroll down, back down to where line 60 is, what's right above line 60?
See, is this
D?
Or you see this
operation of fund, so that covers, got an A, B, and C. So this again is describing an operation of the fund. And it was, this amendment is to respond to the concern that a woman who gets the pregnancy benefit, a child born to a mother who received a pregnancy benefit in November, is not going to be eligible for his or her individual health benefit until the beginning of the next calendar year. It could still just be 2 months, but that's when everyone else resumes their eligibility, their additional benefits beginning of the calendar year. So, on the other hand, if they're born in January, they'll have to wait the beginning of the next calendar year. So that's just a concern. Some people thought that might be a double benefit or very close to double dipping. Certainly, if that's more than we need, then I could understand it. You can choose to support it. That's what the end was for.
Okay. Congresswoman Pratt, I've noticed you. Listen, you did have some thoughts on this bill the other day. Congressman Shaw has an amendment proposed. Are you familiar with the amendment?
Well, I was back there in the Ethics Committee in the role of engrossment and trying to listen in as I could, but you came back and said the amendment is that they are ineligible for the health benefit until the following year because they received it while they were pregnant?
No, not the child.
Right, the child.
Until the beginning of the next calendar year. Would you agree that? Yes. Yeah, go back up to
at page 2, line 60, we insert a new paragraph D. A child born to an Osage mother that receives a pregnancy benefit will not be eligible for the individual health benefit until the beginning of the next calendar year.
Is there any, okay, I get that one.
That's the only amendment that's been proposed.
So, I apologize, I don't have a legislation priority in
right
20 million other pieces.
This, would, then, is this it, section
what,
D
at what
right
point
here
did they receive this and what trimester?
Well, we didn't specify that yet.
We didn't go into trimesters. He has not. That's not part of his amendment.
Okay. Well, but this is also just at this point for in just a conversation and passing real quick in the back. This is for pregnant Osage women. And then the discussion was brought up whether or not Osage males, like if my son was going to have a child with someone, that female would not be eligible.
Non-Osage female? Yep. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it would be nice if you could, because if you could prove that that's a Osage child that non-Osage female is carrying, then I would have no objections if we knew that that was an Osage child. How are you going to know that that's an Osage child that non-Indian or non-Osage female is carrying?
Mm-hmm. The way I looked at that question, very valid question. Alice asked it, you're asking it. If you have an Osage father who fathered an Osage child with a non-Osage mother, this benefit is actually not for the child. It's an enhanced benefit for the pregnant Osage for additional health needs, expenses, et cetera, during her pregnancy. So it's really, it's not an early benefit awarded to the child. It's an the way I see it, it's an enhanced benefit for the enrolled, eligible pregnant Osage mother. Now, if it was an Osage father and a non-Osage mother, she would be eligible for it. Technically, the unborn child is not an enrolled Osage member yet. So, and then not to mention, you'd have to get DNA sampling and or some other procedure to determine paternity. So it's really kind of a nightmare of things. But the biggest thing is she's not eligible for a benefit. She's the one that's pregnant. She's not Osage mother.
Okay.
parts of this that are a nightmare, which is why I think we should leave well enough alone. Because, as the mother of a son, if he were able to be having kids right now, I were not sitting on Congress, and my elected officials chose to take our Osage dollars and spend it on women who are having Osage babies, and my son couldn't get it for his unborn Osage child, I wouldn't be happy with the 12 people sitting around voting on it. That's my opinion, because we are singling out and now telling our constituents that, and I understand that the concept of, well, we don't really know if the baby is Osage. Well, that's true. I mean, nothing you can do about that until a paternity test is done. If you have a son that's, you know, sleeping around, or you have his, whoever his companion is in, you know, you don't like him, and could there be a fight on our hands? Sure there could be, but I just don't think this is fair at all, and I'm not going to be able to support the legislation. I just can't, because potentially we're helping the mother or the child of the mother that has Osage mom, and we're not helping the child, the unborn child rather, who doesn't have an Osage mom. That is what we were doing with this legislation.
That's one way to put it. I would put it a different way. Congressman Shaw, I would repeat what I said earlier. If we found a way to afford a benefit to the indirectly to the child, the child's not a member yet and not eligible for the health benefit. But an Osage mother is, and not an Osage mother is not eligible for the health benefit either. So there's not really a way to afford her any kind of benefit as for her pregnancy, because she's not an eligible tribe member to receive any money, even her own 500, let alone 500 for an enhanced pregnancy benefit. So it's more than just yes for Osage women, no for Osage men. It has to do with having to. It's not really, I realize it's in recognition of an Osage child. It's not really meant directly for the Osage child, because the child is not a tribal member yet.
Well, let's just ask the sponsor.
You said it very well. The benefit is for the Osage mother so that she can have a healthy pregnancy. And then we know that the Osage mother is carrying an Osage child by virtue of the Osage mother. Yes, when I first started thinking about this, drafting this legislation, I was thinking, well, you know, we got Osage fathers not married to non-Osage women, and we got this Osage child and this non-Osage mother's carrying. You could say, well, it's not fair because you got an Osage child there. But what I was really drafting this legislation for is so the mother, the Osage mother, could have a healthy pregnancy, and we would have a healthy Osage child born. Now, talk about, well, it's not fair, it's discriminatory. I don't see it as being discriminatory. I'm looking at the Osage mother. There's a lot of young Osage mothers that don't have access to Indian health care. There's Osage mothers living in Texas. There's Osage mothers living in California. There's Osage mothers living all over the United States that don't have access to health care. And I think that's what I was really concerned about these young Osage mothers that don't have access to health care because they can't afford it. Health care for that unborn Osage child. I'm looking at she getting some prenatal care and avoiding any health problems with that long-term health problems with that unborn child. That's what my primary concern was, is for that young Osage mother, keeping her healthy and getting adequate medical care so that we can have a healthy Osage child born.
Okay, thank you. Congresswoman Pratt, Congresswoman Bufflohead, and Speaker Mason.
Okay. Well, as the mother of five sons, I'm agreeing with Congresswoman Bufflohead, and it's an enhancement. You're saying it's an enhancement to the Osage mother for it to have a healthy child. So what's missing is the enhancement for the father who is Osage, responsible for his non-Osage wife, but still Osage child. So I do see still that if we're calling the word youth discrimination came up, still lies there, because you would still want I would still want my grandchild and the mother of my grandchild to have a healthy pregnancy, and my son is Osage, that child would be Osage. So I still think that, but there is the difficulty of, in some cases, where, you know, paternity and whatnot, but I still think if that's the reasoning, then the discrimination is still there. And again, I it's just my opinion, I don't know that we're quite ready for this. I've stated in the last committee that, you know, if we just started a little bit of funding towards those with disabilities or beyond their control, special needs and things like that, and I would be, it's just a lot that we're taking on, but I would almost be more willing to add to that, having been a woman who's given birth to six children, but also who has a special needs child, and that's going to be, unfortunately, ongoing for the rest of my child's life. So, I would say from my personal experience that's where the greater costs come in, and I don't really see, especially if you're not going to specify a trimester, because things happen in the first, sometimes second trimester.
Congresswoman, let me bring this back in. We've gotten off the amendment. We're now talking about
The
merits of the bill.
I forgot you had an amendment, and you invited me to make comments. I was just coming back in from both and nothing's committee, so.
About the amendment, I asked you if you understood what the committee, what the amendment was.
Well, all you said was you had some comments last, and thoughts on this legislation.
So,
let's argue about that.
Well, that's not all I said. We can misrepresent things all the time. It's easy.
No, that's what was stated. I'm just saying, okay, I get it though. You have an amendment on the floor.
Okay.
Those are my thoughts.
So, is there any additional discussion on the amendment? There's been a call for the vote. All those in favor of voting on the amendment say yes.
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 Anyone opposed?
No.
Congresswoman Pratt votes no against voting on the amendment. Okay, now we're going to vote on the amendment. Is everyone clear on the amendment? Okay. Roll call vote, please.
Congressman Shaw?
Yes.
Congresswoman Pratt?
No.
Congressman Maker?
No.
Congressman Mason?
Yes.
Congressman Norris?
Yes.
Congressman Walker?
Yes. Okay, the amendment passes. That amendment, just in case you didn't understand it, actually, it doesn't give the child an additional benefit. They still get only one $500, whether it's whenever the mother is born, whenever she's pregnant, or when the child is born. Okay. Okay, now you can have the floor back regarding merits of the bill. And Congresswoman Bufflohead?
Well, when Congressman Norris was talking earlier, and I understand, you know, to me, I think we use Osage dollars and we do the best that we can. I feel like as a body, each Congress that I have been on, second, third, fourth, and now fifth, you know, we're elected to really try to do as much as we can for all Osage people. But when I hear statements like we want that Osage mom to have a healthy pregnancy and have a healthy baby, I'm like Congresswoman Pratt. I would want that for my future grandchild that Joseph may have, a child. And I would want, if she's not Osage, I would want her to have a healthy pregnancy also. I don't know what exactly Indian Health Services does when they have people that come in that are having children and they're not American Indian. Do they not get Indian Health Service help? I was under the impression that they did. So can a non-native that's having a child with an enrolled member of any nation receive access to health care through Indian Health Services if they are non-native?
Yes,
they can. I'm thinking about this pregnancy. Say that one more time to me.
Okay. So the way I have always understood it, a non-native woman who is having a child with a native can go to Indian Health Services and get the same medical care while she's pregnant that someone who is native is, that is also utilizing Indian Health Services. Can they not?
They can, so long as they have a fraternity test and the native father steps forward and presents proof that he is the father of that child.
Well, so then why can't we, if that's how they, because I would assume that Indian Health Services at some point, if they did, when they didn't have that, ran into the same situation that we're running into right now, which is, how is this fair to our native men? How is this fair to them? We'll take anyone that's an enrolled member. You can get access to free medical care through IHS, but we're not going to let the men having children. I would guess this is how this came up. So why can't we? And I'm not saying I'm opposed to everything about this bill. I do think we have a good thing and we shouldn't mess it up. And I kind of feel like this is throwing a wrench into a moving part, but I would suggest this committee hold on to this legislation and don't try to pass it out the door right now, because I think that there are some things that need, some kinks that need to be worked out and things that really need to have some more discussion. And it's one of those big items that it's really hard to discuss something like this in 30 days. And that's a difficult thing to do, especially in the 30 days that we're trying to appropriate over $30 million worth of budget. So I think you all should hold on to this and wait until a special session or wait until spring, but that's just me. The way that it is now, I can't support this. But I would like to.
You want to address that?
Well, whenever I first started this, I was thinking about, carrying a child, and an Osage father steps forward and says, I am the father of that child, and here's the legal document that I signed saying that. I was thinking, fine, we'll accept that. But then, the more I discuss this with other people, it was like, then I started getting this, what ifs. What if the guy steps forward and he says he's a father, but then he backs out because he finds out he's not getting child support, so, and he's legally obligated to do things, and he's not willing to claim that child. And what if he backs out, and then you've got a non-Osage child born to a non-Osage mother? So I started going the other way, to the other extreme. Well, we've got to limit it somehow. And so I know that the Osage mother, if she's an enrolled member of the nation and she's on the health benefit plan, then she's already established that criteria, then we know any child that comes from that mother is an Osage child. And that, I did it this way because I thought, well, we can always go back and amend this. The bill can be amended later on. But if we decide it's not working well, or it's not working as well as it could, and I stated early in the meeting, I said, I'm open for any amendments at all to the legislation. I'm not locked into this piece of legislation as it's written. Because I know it could probably, or it can be improved. But I don't want to rush into anything that is going to open up a can of worms. But then again, I'm thinking about that Osage mother, young Osage mother, and unborn Osage child. That's what I was thinking.
Assistant Chief, how is...
Just a brief question. If I'm following correctly, following the... a little bit of friction that I'm hearing in this, would it not be sufficient to have some document, I don't know what that document would be, some document from any Indian clinic indicating that the mother, the non-Osage mother, had been accepted as a patient for this purpose? Wouldn't the onus be on the Indian Health Service to make the determination of parenthood and all that? If she was accepted, if it was good enough for IHS, it would be good enough for us. If I had misunderstood the question somehow, forgive me.
Yes, it could. However, Congressman Norris was talking more about Osage mothers who don't live within, or don't live in an area where there's Indian, or where there's IHS. So that would apply in the same way for an Osage father outside of an area that has IHS.
Understood. That would be the convenient thing to do, and if absent that, then a paternity test, perhaps.
Yes, in this imperfect world that we live in. Congresswoman Buffalohead?
What's the fiscal impact for this? So, I mean, do we, as a nation, do we know approximately how many Osage babies are born every single year? And to that, how many of those are born to Osage moms and how many are born to Osage dads? Or there's people out there like me who the mother and the father are Osage. Just wondering.
So we've talked about that a little bit at the previous committee meeting.
The membership in a few days could provide that information, I would think, for what's available to.
The number was 218 new enrollees last year.
And do we know out of that 218, how many have Osage mothers, how many have Osage fathers, and how many have both?
Don't know, but we could ask, we could speculate.
Well, I'd rather ask instead of speculating, but I think it's a relevant question.
I didn't say that it wasn't. Congressman Shaw's amendment, to a large extent, minimized the fiscal impact. It was really kind of represented before, the first time we heard it, that the fiscal impact wouldn't be that great. That, what was the term used, or the phrase, that there would be no additional appropriation that would be needed to implement this. That's what I heard. But I've not seen a fiscal analysis on any bill this session. Okay, well, we're up against it, so, unfortunately. Chair of Energy.
Well, I'm willing to postpone this. So it's going to build this, a later date. But,
I can put it on, and I've got committee meetings scheduled all week.
Motion to postpone ONCA 16118 to call the chair.
Second.
Motion to postpone ONCA 16118 to the call of the chair by Congressman Shaw, seconded by Speaker Mason. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Postpone ONCA
1695 was on the agenda.
Motion to adjourn.
We've already passed that out of committee. Motion to adjourn by Congressman Shaw.
Second.
Seconded by Speaker Mason. All those in